Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Thursday, everybody. It's Kevin David Thomas, and...
It's me, Rob Schneider.
It's me!
It's me, Mario.
We're halfway through the week. I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful week. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing very well, thank you so much for asking. It's early. It's an early morning for us. This is an early morning film call, I feel.
This is like last week. We're so dedicated to doing this, but we're a little busy this week. And so it is literally 8 o'clock and Thursday morning, and we are it's 8:30, and we're working this out. But we're happy to be with you guys today.
Yes, always happy. This is the thing I look forward to in the week more than anything.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't often get to see you. We work together. We teach together sometimes. But this is the time I know I get to like hang out with you for a little bit.
I got to watch Kevin teach yesterday, where we teach. All the rooms have glass walls so you can see inside the classrooms. And I was watching Kevin teach. What are you teaching? Music theory?
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone. Kevin looked like, you ever see these like evangelists on TV that are like running around with their arms waving around? I was like, what the hell is he doing in there?
Yeah,
I didn't know someone could get so excited over a G minor chord.
Well, no, Rob, it's self-serving because, I mean, think about it. Music theory, two sections for an hour and a half each, and you're teaching musical theater students music theory. They don't want to learn music theory. I mean, some of them do, and God bless them. But so I try to make it interesting. And so, I got to amp it up a little bit, put on a little show just to, like, keep it – you know,
it was
keep
intense, it going, man.
When you're like every good boy does fine. Those are the lines on the treble clef staff.
Yes.
Any musicians? Okay, great. That's wonderful. But so that's the kind of stuff I teach them.
Yes, it was in Britain, though. I think they say every good boy deserves favor.
And I always ask my international students what little phrases were they taught when they were younger or when they were taking piano. And that was the one I've never heard that one before, but they spelled favor the other way, of course.
F-A-V-O-U-R.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Thank you. You know, you're recording from a location I've never seen before. What room are you in?
Oh, I'm in the living room, Roberto.
Oh, because I've never seen your apartment. That's maybe why.
Yeah.
There's frame sheet music behind you. What's the frame sheet music behind you?
Yeah, that's like this sheet music from when I worked on Little House on the Prairie, the musical. Did you know there was a musical, Little House on the Prairie? It was written by an Academy Award winning composer named Rachel Portman. She is known for Chocolat was the movie she did.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She did the Grey Gardens HBO movie, and she did lots and lots of – she's known – her music – she was featured in that. Remember I did the Favorite Things on composer film scores?
Yeah, she's in that.
She's in there. She's the only female composer featured in it, which is actually crazy that they didn't have more female composers. But Rachel, and she's from England, and she wrote the music for Little House on the Prairie. She's very piano based, and we hit it off. We hit it off big time, and we just got along. And so she mailed it to me after we did that 8 years ago, and she was so kind to have it framed. And you guys can't see it, and I'll take a picture. But it's this. It's the overture, the first page of the overture, handwritten, her score, and she mailed it to me and said, you know, to KDT, because that's what people call me. And you know, thanks for all the help and everything. Really sweet.
That's really sweet.
I love that kind of stuff. You know, like mementos when you do a show. I mean, everyone. I remember the first time I went to a professionals. You probably have this memory too, Rob. When you went to a New Yorker when you were a student or fresh out of school, and you went to like a fancy showbiz New Yorker's house, and they always had that wall of cards, thank you cards, and or letters from you know, Sheldon Harnick or Stephen Sondheim, you know, that one letter they got in college or something from Stephen Sondheim.
Yes.
But when you go to someone fancy, you know, you really see, it's really fun to see these sort of mementos. And so I think everyone in the business sort of starts their own little wall in a way, you know, with like little.
Oh, that's so sweet. I don't have a wall.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I have like posters up, but I don't have anything like from my shows. I should put that stuff up.
It's fun. It's just because, you know, those, whenever you do a show, I'm sure listeners, you've had this experience, whether it be in your community theater, high school, college, or professionally, you know, it's such a snapshot. You know, you do a show. It's so intense. You're with these people. They're your family. When you're young, you think it's always going to be that way. And then when you get older, you realize, nope, that's just, whenever you do a show, that's just that group of people for that amount of time. And then that's it. You're done. And those little mementos, I think, are a nice little remembrance, because there's really no other way to remember it, because theater is, it just poof, it's gone. So yeah,
that was beautiful, precious.
I was saying that, and Rob like took off his glasses, was itching his eye.
Good morning. That's nice, man. Anything else you want to share with us?
No, I'm done. You share me something. Give me something.
No, I thought that was really good. Oh, hey, we got to do a couple of little plugs here really quickly.
I was just going to say that.
What are you going to plug?
I was going to – Robbie Rozelle.
Who's Robbie Rozelle?
You know what? No, don't you dare. You guys always gang up on me. You make it sound like you're going to kick me out of my own podcast. And you always make it – they do this thing, you guys. Robbie Rozelle, as you know, is a wonderful friend of the podcast. He works for Broadway Records. He's a graphic designer. He's a man of many, many, many talents. One of them is a cabaret artist.
A million hats. The man wears a million hats.
But he and Rob and I are all friends, and but when he and Rob hang out together, they always like to send me little pictures and texts of them doing interviews and them gonna take over the podcast, it makes me mad.
Sometimes we need to keep inspiring Kevin. And it's good that we do this. We poke a little stick under him and go, move it, Kevin. Keep your eye on the prize, man. Otherwise someone I'm going to put you in my phone, I think, Kevin, as Margot Channing. And I'm going to put Robbie in as Eve Harrington.
You're terrible.
And then one day, I'll just slip a graphic to you that says, Behind the Curtain, starring Robbie Rozelle. Then he'll replace me. Don't worry, man. Then I'll get replaced, too. And then you and I will be back together again.
I'm alive.
Yeah, that's it. Robbie, if you can sing. Oh, anyway, so Robbie's doing something. So Robbie's doing something.
A year ago, Robbie did – he premiered songs of In My Locker – From My Locker.
Songs from Inside My Locker.
Inside My Locker. Thank you. Sorry, Robbie. It was at 54 Below. We had a great time, and it was very funny, and there was great song choices.
It's really
and
now
funny. He's really funny. And now he's raising money on Kickstarter to do an album of his show. And I say – go for it. You got to do this and raise money and let's get this done. So I've donated, you've donated. Mm-hmm. We're going to post the link and we want to get this album produced.
Yeah, it's his Kickstarter. He's doing it through Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Now, I did not know this about Kickstarter. Did you know that unless you meet the goal, you don't get any of that money?
Yeah. You gotta get your goal. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought it would be.
It's not like you get like, oh yeah, you get what they give you and that's it.
Oh, that's what I'm so stupid. That's what I thought. I thought it was like, oh, okay. Well, they wanted like $18,000 and they only got $16,000, so they'll get the $16,000. They get nothing.
Yeah.
So that's horrible. Anyway, I think he's got about 2 weeks left on this.
He's very close. He's doing really well. So we'll post the link and we'll get that done.
Yeah, he's so funny, and this should be preserved because it really is a funny show, and I think it's going to be a show that a lot of people are going to relate to once they listen to it. So I hope it works out. So go over to Robbie's Kickstarter and donate. Give this guy some money.
Robbie Rozelle, Rozelle.
Rozelle. I'm happy you spelled it, Kevin. So when I make the new graphic, I'll spell it correctly on there. Okay.
Good job, Rob. What's your other plug?
Just a little X going through. Oh my God. No, you know who I ran into?
Who?
I was at the Westway Diner.
like you do. Peter Felicia. Tony Walton.
I was having dinner with Peter Felicia.
There it is.
At the Westway Diner.
Those are the people I ran into.
Because we did another reading of his play.
I know how to go.
Good. Very good. I think we're making a lot of steps in the right direction. I can't wait for it to actually like go somewhere, you know? I'm excited, and I think it will.
I'm still waiting for my offer, but it's fine.
Actually, we'll talk off Skype.
Just
they shouldn't have to hear me begging for you. And then I ran into Richard Skipper, one of our former guests, Richard Skipper. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I got to say, this is really sweet. So Richard came over and said, yeah. I just listened to the
Westway. I love it that every time you go to the Westway, you always see someone that's been on our podcast. The last time we were there, it was Jim Walton.
We saw Jim Walton. Jim Walton, who's going in to Come From Away.
It's fantastic.
On Broadway.
I love it.
How great is it? And I think his niece is doing the tour of Come From Away.
It's incredible.
So the Waltons are working hard. So anyway, Richard Skipper, though, the great Richard Skipper, comes up to me and goes, oh, I love them. I just listened to the Michael McCormick episode. It's wonderful, blah, blah, blah. And I was unaware of this, and I have to thank Richard. Richard, every time we do an episode, he reposts it on his blog.
That is so kind.
So if you guys get a chance, just because his blog is so fascinating, and if you really like Hello Dolly, you need to go see his blog because it's mostly Hello Dolly centric. Yeah.
And it's so much facts and figures and fascinating things to learn about it. Definitely.
Yeah. So go over to Richard Skipper's blog as well.
Yes. Check him out.
Yeah. So Robbie Rizel, Richard Skipper, and now we'll be selfish and talk about us.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
All right. Our favorite things. What is your favorite thing this week?
Okay. You know, sometimes
I'm pulling mine up.
You probably know this feeling, but I don't know. Sometimes when I sit down and do this, I think, all right, I got a really good one. Like, this is going to be something he's never thought of. This is like, I feel like I'm cheating a little bit. It's a little out there. It's another Instagram account. I want to tie it into a larger topic, and that is show posters. You know, people collect show posters, and I just want to have a little – before I tell you the Instagram account and all of that, I just want to celebrate what used to be called window cards, because back – if you imagine in the 40s, 50s, 60s, listeners, when we did not have social media and all of that, we did not have TV ads and all of that, you got your ads from the paper and from the window card in the theater, the actual theater. And so these poster cards were put up around the city and all of that, and people collected them, and the art on these posters are very, very special. And we still make great posters today. They're still really, really wonderful. But I think 20-plus years ago – there was really – and Fravor does such a beautiful job. I mean, we've interviewed him. His posters are beautiful. But – and he comes from that older generation as well, where there was a real – the artwork in these posters is something really sublime and really artistic, and you were really trying to capture the spirit of the show in order to advertise it. And now, of course, we have – you know, you open up your Instagram or whatever, and it's just – you got Mean Girls and all the different, you know, shows have different ways of advertising on there. But I would like to celebrate the old – you know, window card, the poster, the little piece. So there's this great Instagram. And if you don't have Instagram, I believe you can still look at the account, I think, on the internet. But the account is called Broadway Theater spelled R-E, Broadway Theater Posters, plural. And is this – I don't know who it is, and if listeners – and if you're a listener, sir, or madam, please let us know. But I don't know whose account it is, but it's their personal collection, and of which there are dozens and dozens and dozens, going all the way back to like Music Man and, you know. But I just want to give a couple shout outs to some really special ones that I had never really seen before. And how a poster can really capture the artwork of – are you looking at it right now?
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at searching it. Broadway Theater Posters.
Broadway Theater spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E poster. Yeah. And so – what I enjoy is that you really get a sense of how the posters represented pieces and shows that we don't know today as well. Like, for instance, like Bob Fosse shows. There's one of Dancin' and of Big Deal. And when you look at the Dancin' and Big Deal poster, there is no question or doubt that this is a Bob Fosse show. You see the Bob Fosse style. You see the angular – there's angles in the little cartoon character of the person dancing, and they're so angular, almost like a Picasso painting. And you really get this sense of Fosse, and even in the poster art, and which – automatically tells you exactly what you're going to see in the show. Of course, I love the Pretty Belle, and I love all of this, you know, the rarer ones. I have to tell you one that I actually had never seen ever. And I have the album of I Can Get It For You Wholesale. It's a red cover. Everyone who has that album would know exactly what that cover is. Well, the poster art for I Can Get It For You Wholesale is like nothing I've ever seen before. It's this black panel with a little silhouette of a woman, and the title is like on her clothes. It's really interesting. So I just it, it's It's fun. It's a quick little favorite thing. But I just think it's great to celebrate this artwork because people, you know, these are artists that were, some of them are really, really well-known artists that they got to produce these posters. And this is the first place I've seen, other than going to Triton Gallery. Triton Galleries are the well-known theater poster art, you know, gallery, and, you know, they frame posters for you, and they still exist, and they're and you can go there and they've got a collection. But online, other than going to eBay and looking up random posters, I loved that this guy has shown his collection. Not only that, he puts a little quote of the show and he gives you the information about the poster. He clearly is a fan of poster art, and he tells you the artist and what year it was done and who was in the show and all of that. So it'll spend 20 minutes and celebrate the art of showbiz posters and or window cards, as they used to call them.
Well, I'm looking at this. I've never seen this before. This is amazing.
Yeah, no, it just started like a couple weeks ago. But every time a new one pops up, I zoom on it and check out all the names and look at the art and everything. It's a really, I don't know, it's a little nerdy thing to do, but it's really fun because you really get an essence of those older shows that you haven't seen. Like, I've not seen Pretty Belle. I've listened to it, but when you look at that sweeping, flowing artwork on the poster, you really get a sense of it, you know.
This is so cool. Okay, great.
Oh yeah!
Sorry, I got to put the phone.
No,
down.
No, I'm glad
looking at it.
The one that I thought was going to be sort of like a dud was actually a good one. I'm glad.
No, I love theater posters.
Yeah, right. Listeners or Rob, is Triton or because I know like Frank
yeah, there's still,
Fravor, he put out his own book of theater posters, right? I mean, he's the one that did Lion King and Sweeney Todd. I mean, all of them. Go to listen to the interview of Frank, but I can't think of a book that celebrates all of the art. Is there one, Rob?
Yeah, and yes, there is, and I used to own it. Well, I mean, there's Frank's, there's James McMullen's from Lincoln
right,
Center.
Which was another favorite thing.
There's one I think that's just called Broadway Theater Posters, and it's a big yellow book. I remember that. It was like a yellow coffee table book, and I used to own it. I used to own all these theater books, and I got rid of all of them. Because I was
what?
Like, well, I owned about like 2,000 books, and when I was at Penn State, I was able to keep them all in my office. And then when we moved to New York, I had them all over the apartment, and I'm like, "This is crazy." I was like, "We have no room," and so I sold them all to the Strand. So maybe I'll go back to the Strand, and then we started this podcast where I really need the book.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where I need the book.
No, I know.
So I was like, damn it. But yeah, I think there was one called Broadway Theater Posters. Is that right?
I see one here. On Broadway, it's on Amazon. On Broadway, exclamation mark. Oh, no, it's a book. It's a book of postcards. I'm wrong. I'm still looking, but you keep talking. I'm sorry. On Broadway Theater Posters. Yep, there it is.
Yeah. Is it a yellow book?
No.
That's all I remember. That's all Grandpa remembers. It's a yellow book.
It's not a big pop. There it is. Broadway Theater Posters. Broadway Theater Posters. But no. Sorry, guys. You guys are going through us on this journey right now of Broadway Theater. Yeah, Broadway Theater Posters by Wendy Nelson Cove. Yep, there it is. $7.99 on eBay right now. Maybe I should buy it.
Oh, buy it. Yeah, I remember that. And I feel like there's another one out there, which I cannot remember. Like, and I think, there's also one like that's a blue book. That's all I remember. There's like two of them.
Help us out, listeners. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of this Broadway Theater Posters, but this yellow one, you're exactly right.
Okay. Yeah, so they're out there. They're totally out there.
I'm glad because I think it's great to celebrate the art of that because it's sort of I don't want to say it's a dying art form because we still need the posters, but I don't think we celebrate them as much as they used to, you know?
Well, no, because I think what's happening now is, you know, ever since the Cameron Mackintosh, you know, graphic design where it was just one iconic image,
right?
Which is like, hey, we want one object, like a mask in Phantom.
I had that poster as a kid.
Or you look at Book of Mormon, and it's like, it's just a doorbell.
Right.
You know, so no matter if you speak English or not, you can recognize what the logo is.
There it is.
So I think that's changed, because posters I don't think are as interesting as they once were.
Exactly. So yeah, that's my favorite thing. Aren't.
That's wonderful. Thanks, Precious.
Why? Why, thank you.
Mine this week is a website/Twitter account.
Okay.
And I think it's very funny. And in full disclosure, I was doing research on this and I realized the person who created this is somebody I've directed once before.
Well,
and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
You didn't know that.
Now, this is a place, if you're an actor, I think you'll get a real good kick out of this. This is a website and Twitter account called Hackstage. 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 It is it's like a parody of Backstage magazine, But it's like The Onion. So it's they take fake stories and fake audition notices and they put them online. So it's like The Onion, but for actors. It's makes me laugh so hard. And it was created by Grace Experience. And I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Helena Fari. Grace, I directed in a show once. I had no idea. She's so funny. And I was like, oh, my God, this is great. So I'll just to give you a little sample here of the news of the day, if you're ready for the news.
And just to be clear, I typed in hackstage.com. It is not .com. It's hackstage.nyc.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Hackstage.nyc.
So you guys listen, just so you know, because it's good. Go ahead.
So, for example, a new headline that came out today, just so we can all get caught up on the news. The headline is, actor who seemed to hate show, mysteriously crying at last performance. May I read the story to you?
Yes, please.
Despite threatening to quit on two occasions and multiple calls to Equity, sources report that Kevin Richardson was seen crying at final curtain call of the Pinkerton Players production of Million Dollar Quartet. He also allegedly hugged members of the crew, many of whom he had never previously acknowledged, stating loudly, "Y'all really know how to put on a show." Throughout the eight-week process, Richardson, who was playing Sam Phillips, was known for his expressing his concerns with the show's lack of gravitas, as well as with his lodging, to anyone who would listen. He told me he thought the town was boring. What is the theater supposed to do with that? Asked Max Cunningham, the theater's managing director, adding, he also asked if he could have a song, since he was the quote-unquote protagonist. Fellow cast member Jeremy Garvin also expressed incredulity at Richardson's post-show display of emotion. It was weird that he took me aside to tell me how talented I was, since I know for a fact that he was the one spreading the rumor that I have contagious nodes, which isn't even a thing, by the way. At press time, Richardson was seen weeping at the cast house and moaning, I can't wait until next time. Reps for the Pinkerton Players wish to reiterate, he will absolutely not have a next time.
Pinkerton Players.
I love that. They also do casting calls. So they put up up fake auditions, including this one really made me laugh because I'm like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense to me. New York Festival for Singing and Acting at the Same Time. That's the theater company. Seeking multi-talented performers for this annual Summer Musical Theater Festival held in New York City. Casting for multiple productions include Caliban, the musical, an exploration of the dark psyche of one of Shakespeare's most mysterious and spooky characters. McConnell'd, a bio-musical about Mitch McConnell. Quote, not a parody. Creative team coming in from McConnell's home state of Kentucky. They are very serious. Abacus, a musical featuring the unauthorized songs of ABBA with a mathematical twist. And Are You There, Bernard Telsey? It's me, Eponine. Seeking audience members for personal cabaret for Bernard Telsey. As of now, Bernard Telsey has not confirmed his attendance.
These are great. These headlines I'm looking at. Seven times you thought your friend's cabaret was over, but it wasn't.
That was the one that got me. That was so the one true. That got me. Because I was like, somebody posted that. And I'm like, what is that? That's so funny. And then I was like, oh, my God, what is this website? So anyway, it just gives you really, really good laugh.
Good job. Good job to these writers for doing this. And for such a niche world that we live in, it's spot on. It's good comedy. I mean, man elects himself mayor of the Holding Room. We all know that guy. We all know that guy who's like the mayor of the Holding Room talking to everybody. It's so perfect.
Yeah,
good job.
They've done a really good job, these two. Yeah, but the seven times you thought your friend's cabaret was over but wasn't, you know, working at 54, I'm like, oh, this is all too real. Yes. Just really quick, I'm going to read them to you if I may. There's just seven, and then we'll move on. So it says, cabarets can be a mandatory fun time. Drinks and show tunes and $30 minimum on a Tuesday night. And sure, you've heard everything in your roommate's book at 6 a.m. before every open call. But tonight she's doing it on stage with a pianist named Rob. Only one problem. There's no program. How are you supposed to know when to throw flowers she asks you to throw on stage? Don't get tripped up by these seven false endings of A Night with Jerry, My Musical Journey to the Past. Here are the seven. Number one, when she brought her high school choir teacher on stage to sing For Good. I've seen that. When she made a toast to her mom and downed the glass of wine she'd been toting around the stage.
When she forgot the words
to her patter song. I have seen this. When the server brought you your $50 check for your two compulsory seltzers and french fries. When she reprised Don't Rain on My Parade in a higher key. When she lounged at the piano and sang What I Did for Love directly to Rob. And seven, when she took a bow and left the stage but then returned in a sequin gown for Think of Me from Phantom. Yep, We've seen all these before. Anyway, it's a very funny site. Like I said, it's like The Onion for actors, hackstage.nyc. They're also on Twitter. Congratulations.
It's good to laugh. It's good to joke about it, I think. You know, it is a crazy business that we do. It is tough. It's difficult. But I think if you can have a good laugh about it, I think that's part of the game.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And God bless these actors who do an audition day in and day
out. Wake up every morning. Go to those calls at 6 a.m. Bless you. Good job. You're going to do it. You're going
to
make it.
Namaste to one and all. Yes. All right. So once again, we will see you all
next week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.